Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Much different look as we headed into tonight's game compared to years past with the Cavs and Celtics. Max Letterman from NBCS Boston is going to join us here in just a second on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He's Jeff Phelps. I'm Andy Baskin. Max, how are you today?
I'm good. How's it going, guys?
We're doing great. Kyrie's not going to play tonight, so we're a little bummed about that. But what's the latest out of Boston on him and just the way things are going?
Well, it hasn't been great, as you guys probably know. This team is just completely underachieved. They're honestly on pace to finish about 10 games below what their over-under was, which is a historic failure for a team that's going to make the playoffs. But Kyrie's numbers offensively have been great. He's almost at 50, 40, 90 like he is pretty much every year. But just for some reason, there's just this feeling around the team. And I'm curious what you guys, I mean, did you experience anything like this with him where it's just he's playing good, but just like a bit moody?
Yes. It's funny. As you were describing it, I was thinking about how the Cavaliers underachieved with LeBron and Kyrie here. And, you know, we would think that they would go on to win the Eastern Conference during the regular season, but just like they didn't seem to care about the regular season. And it was, as you were describing it, I was thinking back to what things that we used to say about the Cavaliers.
No, it's true. And that's the thing, is that a lot of people are saying, oh, they're just waiting for the playoffs, they're going to flip a switch. But, you know, it's the Cavs with Kyrie and LeBron. One, they had LeBron, and two, it was like they never underachieved this much. I mean, this team was, you know, the over-under was 59. And, you know, I picked the over. I thought they were going to win 60 games. I thought that was a shoo-in. But for whatever reason, I think the something happened when those young guys just got really big in the playoffs. They, you know, they played really well, and they deserved the notoriety that came with it. I think over the summer they just had trouble readjusting to their back to their other roles of being not the main guys. And for whatever reason, the chemistry just hasn't been right. They really haven't changed their team. I mean, Hayward came back, but he was, you know, technically on the team last year. And it's just a bad mix of whether it's personalities or just like on court stuff. And I just don't have a ton of confidence going into the playoffs. I think it's, you know, I'd probably pick them in the first round series versus Indiana, but even that, it's like, man, that's gonna be tough.
Two-part question, Max. What does the Boston fan base think of Kyrie? And I believe the Celtics are 10-2 without him. Can they win just as well with him or without him?
Well, the 10-2 thing is a little misleading. I think they played some not great teams in those games. I think a lot of that, you know, especially the rest, the load management stuff like tonight. You know, they're strategic about those games. They do have a good backup in Terry Rozier, who is better when he's starting and is just not able to really be a positive impact guy when he's just coming off the bench now for some reason. But as far as the fans go with Kyrie, they do really like him. I mean, and they want to embrace him. They do. I think, you know, some get a little frustrated, but I think it's mostly the media that has to deal with him every day that has been a little bit more negative about him. But, I mean, it's Uncle Drew. I mean, he's a movie star. He, you know, he had his own sneaker before he got here. I mean, he's a, you know, there were kids wearing 11, you know, Celtic jerseys before he even played a game. And it took, you know, 2.5 years of Isaiah Thomas, you know, putting together incredible offensive seasons to get, you know, even a couple of number fours going around the city. So they like him. They do. I don't think they turned on him. I think the playoffs is really, though, where you earn the respect of Boston fans. So I think they're waiting to see, because this was the run last year. But, you know, if he called out and they went around or two, I think everyone will be fine, and, you know, we'll see what happens this summer.
Hey, how do you think it, you know, we all look at Brad Stevens here and, like, I mean, I look at Brad Stevens and we're all like, wow, man, he has done an amazing job in Boston. So when Kyrie cuts on Brad Stevens, how does that play?
It doesn't play great for sure. It's not what he says, it's the tone, honestly, because Isaiah Thomas was very critical of Brad at times, and so was Jay Crowder. There were guys that would pretty, like, shockingly call out Brad, and he always handles it the same way. He takes ownership to look, they're free to say what they want, they're probably right, blah, blah, blah. But for some reason, the way that Kyrie says it, it just rubs people the wrong way. And it's tone. It's so silly. Like, I was getting upset at listening to the radio, you know, bashing him, and just because I'd read one of his quotes about Brad last week.
Right.
And then I heard it, and I was like, oh, okay. All right, I can see where they were coming from with that. So it is just about the tone. But Brad, I mean, in Kyrie's defense, Brad has had his issues this year, I think. It's just it's a harder team. It's a harder team to figure out. And he's never been like this, oh, you can figure out regular season rotation instantly guy. He takes a couple games or 10 or so. And I think this year has just presented him with a lot more challenges. They have almost too much depth, but then they get hurt in key areas where they don't have depth. And it's been hard. But I think once you get to the playoffs in a 7-game series, I think Brad will be a real asset because, you know, he can strategize with the best of them. So I think that's more of a regular season issue, but once the playoffs start, it should be fine.
Max Letterman joining us from NBCS in Boston. Max, do you think Kyrie is a Knick next year or a Celtic? I've thought that he's going to play in New York from the time that he was here in Cleveland. I always thought he had his sights set on New York. What do you think?
Well, it's the thing about Kyrie is that it's just like it's futile to try to guess what he's going to do because he's just not like anybody else. I mean, he's, you know, I was listening to a science podcast over the summer about flat earthers and the flat earth convention, and they were describing these people, the types of people they are. And I'm like, man, it just fits Kyrie. I mean, obviously, you know, he's gone back and, you know, kind of vaguely said that he doesn't really believe the earth is flat, but there's just something about like the kind of person he is, his personality, that it's a coin flip what he does. You know, it really is, because what he should do and what you say he should do or what you say makes sense, it's almost like you saying it is going to make him want to do the opposite. He does seem to just want to have ownership of his own career and not, you know, not have to do what other people tell him he should do. So, look, maybe, I mean, it looks like New York would make sense, but, man, it would also shock a lot of people. Like, it shocked me in October when he said he was going to re-sign with the Celtics. I was like, wow, I didn't expect to hear that until July. So, you know, I really don't know. I really think it's 50-50. Or, I mean, what if he goes to Brooklyn or some team that we're not even thinking of?
Right.
It's just hard to say.
Max Letterman from NBCS Boston is joining us. You know, you talked about Terry Rozier for a second. He's a Cleveland guy, went to Shaker Heights. What's his future look like?
Well, I don't think he'll be back in Boston. I think that's a real long shot. I think he's a restricted free agent. So the Celtics have matching rights, but, you know, it is interesting to see with the Kyrie situation how that plays out. The timing could really kind of screw the Celtics, but I think that he is destined to go to a different team because he's been, you know, saying for the most part the right things this year. But he's a little bit too big to be a backup, and he says that anytime you ask. But he's, you know, he says the right things about his teammates and everything. But you can just tell. I mean, when he plays as a starter, for some reason, he's just better. He makes more shots. And when he's coming off the bench, he just doesn't have that. For some reason, it's just whether he's putting too much pressure on himself. You know, he knows he's not going to get as many shots. But, you know, he was great in the playoffs last year, especially at home, as a starter. And this year, for whatever reason, when he's coming off the bench, he just doesn't have that. So I think that, it's going to be really tricky for the Celtics. But I think that Terry will do what's right for himself and go get the biggest offer he can. And I don't know if the Celtics are going to want to match that, even if they're not sure about Kyrie.
Max, where is Anthony Davis in the Celtics' plan? Is he? And, you know, if he is, obviously they're blowing things up in Boston and changing course completely. Are they doing that regardless?
I think they will. I think that they're, you know, Danny gets his sights set on guys and he goes for them. You know, Danny loved Durant in the 07 draft, and, you know, they got a meeting with him. They were one of 6 teams that got a meeting with him when he ended up signing with the Warriors. And, you know, they sent a random contingent of players there, but they went after him. And I think they're going to push hard for Anthony Davis. I think, you know, it'll be interesting to see. I think a little bit of the shine has come off of Jason Tatum, especially in the last month or so. So I wonder if their offer is really going to be better than the Lakers at this point, but and if it'll just get too costly with draft picks and other players. But I think Danny will go get Anthony Davis. You know, he'll definitely try. You know, he'll definitely try as hard as he can to get Anthony Davis, you know, before knowing what Kyrie's going to do, because I think he sees that as a way to keep Kyrie. If you trade for Anthony Davis, I think Kyrie would have a hard time leaving. But like I said, man, Kyrie's not going to do what we think is normal. So who knows?
And if you get Anthony Davis, I think you can keep Anthony Davis. You know, it was the same thing with Garnett, right? He didn't want to go to Boston. Look what happened. I would think that if Davis gets to Boston, he's going to end up signing long-term.
I agree. I think that the difference with KG is that they didn't finalize the trade until he had verbally agreed to sign an extension. And I don't think that that's going to be an option for them with Anthony Davis. So, but I think that it's Boston from the outside. Yeah, there's just so many things that people say about it that, you know, are just old, you know, 40-year-old stereotypes. Like in Philadelphia, they throw snowballs at Superman. Yeah, they did that in the 60s. So it's like, once you get here and you see you're just embraced by the fans, I mean, it's a great place to be a professional athlete. Once you're here, I mean, you don't see a lot of players come here and the man, I got to get out of Boston. So I think if they acquire him, he'll end up signing the extension.
If you could give me a Kyrie Irving approval rating in Boston, what would it be? What do kids think of him?
Man, it's tough because I'm in a media bubble, but I'm also super online. So I see everyone on Twitter loves him, except there's a couple critics. But approval rating, I would say I'll give him at least a 60% approval rating, you know, including the media and the fans together, because I think the fans are probably closer to like 80% approval. And then the media, you know, they're probably split 50-50.
Who comes out of the East? I can't rule out the Celtics, Max. I really can't.
It could fall. It could fall perfectly for them, depending on where the bracket lines up. But I think that if they, it's almost bad that they ended up not. It looks like they're going to not play the Sixers until potentially the conference finals. That's the one team that you really just the one team that's above them that you think that the Celtics would have no trouble with in the playoffs, because for whatever reason they just match up well with them. I'm not as afraid of the Bucks as a lot of people are, because, you know, we'll see if Bud's system works in the playoffs. And, you know, they went 7 games with them without Kyrie or Hayward last year in the first round and beat them. So I think it could be the Celtics, but it would be an outlier situation if a team that was this much of an underachiever even got out of the first round. So I'm going to probably go Bucks out of the East.
Max, thank you. We appreciate your time. Max Letterman, NBCS in Boston. And hopefully we'll talk to you soon here.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Max. And, of course, Max was on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I don't know, I just keep sitting here thinking about all these great conversations we used to have with Boston. And, you know, oh, we're going to see him in the Eastern Conference Finals. And, man, you'd go watch the Cavaliers smack him in the Eastern Conference Finals. And you're like, yep, that's our team. And now we're just sitting here watching Boston.
Dare to dream.
And here we are in the basement.
Gotta believe, Andy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.